the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to take up a case that could shape laws involving homelessness across the country. The court will rule on whether a city in the state of Oregon has the right to enforce a local law that would ban unhoused people from camping on public property. It's a challenge to a circuit court ruling that found that these types of laws are considered cruel and unusual punishment as laid out by the Eighth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. A similar law has been proposed in Wisconsin that would make it illegal for someone to camp on public property unless it's done in police-supervised temporary shelters designated by the local government. Authors of these types of laws say they'd create safer, cleaner alternatives to people sleeping on the street or sidewalks. Opponents believe this kind of legislation criminalizes homelessness and doesn't solve the larger problem. Our next guest is an expert on laws involving homelessness. She's here to help us understand the potential impact of this Supreme Court case. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think municipalities should be allowed to ban homeless encampments on public property or individual people camping on, say, the courthouse lawn? Why or why not? What kind of things do you think local governments should do when it comes to homelessness? What questions do you have about these types of laws? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Maria Foscarinas is founder and former executive director of the National Homelessness Law Center. She's currently a lecturer in law at the Columbia Law School. Maria, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
Maria, I laid out the broad strokes of that case there. Can you take us a little more through this situation that's coming out of the Western United States, but laws that could be relevant anywhere in the country?
Sure, absolutely. And they are relevant because for the past several, actually past couple of decades, we've seen an increase in the number of cities responding to homelessness by literally making it a crime to live in public places, even when there's no alternative. That's the issue that the Supreme Court has agreed to take up. Is it a violation of the U.S. Constitution to make it a crime to sleep in public when you have no other alternative? It's an important issue. It's an issue that many people think, and that includes me, has been already decided by prior Supreme Court precedent. So it's a bit of a concern why the Supreme Court thinks it needs to take this up. The case it will be reviewing comes from the Ninth Circuit. It involved a dispute in Grants Pass, Oregon, a law that punished people for sleeping outside with blankets or any kind of covering, even though the city had absolutely no shelter. So that's the issue. Can a city make it a crime to simply exist in a public space without shelter?
Now, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals invoked the clause of the Eighth Amendment we've mentioned involving cruel and unusual punishment. There were members, I understand, of that court who disagreed with that read on it. Do you see that Eighth Amendment prohibition applying in this case?
Absolutely. So the Eighth Amendment prohibits cruel and unusual punishment, and there is Supreme Court precedent from the 60s that says when you punish someone for their status or for involuntary actions that are otherwise harmless, then that is cruel and unusual punishment. So here, when a city punishes someone for sleeping outside when they have no alternative, that is cruel and unusual punishment. That's what the court said. I think that's the correct decision. And, you know, why this Supreme Court feels that it needs to review it is a concern.
Some local governments and even state governors have argued that this is not harmless, that there are difficulties in maintaining public cleanliness, in policing these communities, in driving off potential business from tourists and others. There is a harm, and that cities, local governments do have an interest in regulating, you know, where an encampment might pop up. What would you say to that concern at the local level?
Right. There absolutely is a harm, and I didn't mean to suggest there wasn't. But the harm, there is a harm, and the most harm is to the to people themselves who have to sleep outside, who have to live outside. Of course, it's a harm to a community to have encampments. No one wants that. I certainly don't disagree with that. I don't think anybody can disagree. But the point is that we're not talking about people who are committing anything that would be considered a crime. We're talking about people sleeping. That's a basic human need. It's not criminal conduct normally. The problem here is that there is no place for people to sleep, no place for people to exist. So the issue is, what do you do in response to that? Do you simply pass a law to make it a crime, or do you actually provide places for people to be? And I think many people believe that the solution for cities is to provide housing, at the very least provide some kind of shelter, but really to solve the problem of homelessness, you have to provide housing. And that's the answer. Making it a crime is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the harm that cities are so concerned about. It's certainly not going to solve the problem for the people themselves.
Talking to Maria Foscarinas, founder of the National Homelessness Law Center, looking at a case coming out of the Western United States, relevant around the country, though, on what ability local governments have to regulate, to criminalize mostly homeless people camping, sleeping in public places. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions. Steve is with us on the line in Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
So my question is, you know, if it's cruel and unusual to have a homeless person not be able to sleep outside, you know, in minus 18 degree weather, why not? Wouldn't it be cruel and unusual to kick them out of, let's say, a professor's office who's working at a public institution? And wouldn't that be more cruel to send them outside? So can homeless people sleep inside government buildings that are publicly owned?
Steve, thanks for the call. Maria, how would you tackle Steve's question?
I think that's one potential immediate solution. You know, open public buildings. There are solutions that can be implemented right away. The true solution is creating affordable housing. And this country has not invested in affordable housing. It's, in fact, disinvested. There used to be much more support for affordable housing, and now there's very little. But in the meantime, open public buildings, yes, that's a potential solution.
Thanks for the call, Steve, at 800-642-1234. Maria, I want to talk about that, the concept of trying to solve the homelessness problem and provide housing in the first place. It seems that short of that, we're going to be arguing about symptoms, in effect. If people are homeless, where do they sleep? Where do they stay in the absence of housing? What would you like to see done to tackle that fundamental, the cause of the problem in the first place?
Well, I think you put it, that's exactly right, that these responses are addressing symptoms, not the causes. And the real solution is a much, much greater investment in affordable housing. And that's, you know, there are countries that fund what they call social housing, and this country has not. And, you know, we used to have an investment in what we called public housing, but that has long since been eliminated, and that funding has been decimated, and, you know, public housing has been stigmatized. So we don't meet the need that people have in this country for housing. Right now, the programs that exist to support poor people in housing address only one quarter of the need. So, you know, there's a huge lack, and it's not just people who are poor. I think middle-class Americans are feeling the pinch of the lack of affordable housing. It's a real crisis in this country, and it requires a fundamental shift in our priorities to invest in those resources.
We're talking to Maria Foscarinas, founder and former executive director of the National Homelessness Law Center, She's with us today for a look at a U.S. Supreme Court case on whether or not local governments can ban homeless camping on public property. The court agreed to take up that case after ruling in a circuit court in the western U.S. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What kind of rules do you think there should be around homeless camps in communities? What kind of alternatives would you like to see to address homelessness? Have you been homeless yourself? Are you watching these things going on in your own community? What would you like to see done to solve it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Maria Foscarinas, founder and former executive director of the National Homelessness Law Center, currently a lecturer at the Columbia Law School, talking today about laws aiming to ban homeless encampments and camping in public places, and the U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to take up the issue. You could join in with your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Maria, some legislation, including one of the proposals here in Wisconsin, based on a model from a group, I believe, in Texas, says, okay, local governments can criminalize this public camping if they provide police-supervised shelters as an alternative. What do you think of that approach?
I'm not sure what they mean by a police-supervised shelter. And a lot depends on what exactly is being offered to people. You know, not shelter is not the solution to homelessness. Housing is. But, you know, shelters also vary. There are different types of shelters. Some shelters have curfews. You have to be out or you have to be in by a certain time. That doesn't work for you if you have a job, for example, that goes overnight or goes late. So not all shelters are appropriate, and not all shelters would fit within the Ninth Circuit decision. I'm suspicious because of what you're describing. I don't know the details, but the group in Texas is promoting an approach that is punitive and that tells communities that they can't invest funding in housing. So I don't think that that's a good approach. It doesn't sound like the right approach to me. And certainly police supervised shelter is not a solution.
Let's go back to our callers. Paul is with us in Milwaukee. Paul, hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what'd you want to bring up, Paul?
Well, a couple of things as I sit here. I mean, it's great on paper to fund housing and all that, but where is that money supposed to come? I mean, as a taxpayer, my money is paying for these public places anyways. So if someone were to camp out in my shed, if that's trespassing, that's against the law. I view public property is the same. If I'm paying taxes, they can't camp there free of charge. And so I'm just curious, where is the funding supposed to come? I mean, I'm all for solutions, but just giving away free housing is not it.
Paul, thanks for the call. Maria, go ahead.
Well, so to make clear, we're not talking about free housing. We're talking about affordable housing. But it's important to realize that by not solving homelessness, that's not free. Homelessness, allowing people to be homeless, is very expensive. When people are living on the street, they have more health needs. They have more health crises. They tend not to have any kind of health insurance. That costs a lot of money in emergency room and in preventable illness. So it's not free. And certainly deploying police to enforce these kinds of laws that we're discussing is also costly. So it actually is less expensive to provide housing to people than to enforce these kinds of laws. And, you know, it doesn't have to be free housing. Many homeless people work or else they get disability benefits. They can pay something for housing, but the housing has to be there. That's the real solution. So it's a matter of using taxpayer dollars in a way that's smarter and effective. Right now, it's just using taxpayer dollars in a way that doesn't work.
Thanks for the call. Paul, we'll go to Jay now with us in Juneau. Jay, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. So some of the things, before I get on with this, I'm going to say some of the things I've heard your guests say. I kind of get where she's coming from, but to be honest, this giving free homes to homeless people will not work. Okay, like Paul, I wonder where the money's coming from. And two, I was homeless. I was a runaway as a kid, and I was good at it, so I made it through to my late teens and slept in doorways, you know, everything you could find. That's where I had to lay my head, was where I would lay my head. I would not go to the shelters because the shelters are dangerous. And so therein, I kind of agree with your guess. There has to be, for the people that are actually making the pathway out for themselves, they need help. I don't think you should give them the complete handout. I think they should have to figure some of this out on their own, because that's where this all changes, is in the person's mind. They have to come to a point where they begin to have pride in themselves. I hate using that word, but yes, they have to have pride in themselves. They have to be, you know.
Point taken, Jay. Thanks a lot for the call. Now, Marie, and I've heard this argument that people need to be motivated to get out of the situation that led them into homelessness. I've also seen arguments for the housing first approach, as you mentioned, not necessarily free, but affordable housing for people who are currently homeless, being the first step to let them do all that other stuff Jay was talking about in the first place. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, and thank you very much, Jay, for the call. Very important. Yes, Housing First is a program that's been proven to work. And the idea is that you need a place to live before you need some stability before you can address any other issues that you might have. So Housing First is a model where you have that stability, you have a place to live. And then if you need to work on other things, for example, people who are homeless might have mental health issues or maybe a drug addiction. Not everybody, not most people, but some people do. And the idea is that to work on any of those issues, you need the stability of a place to live. So that's Housing First. And it's not a handout. It's not even free. People pay whatever they can, 30% of whatever income they have. And people do work. People do sometimes have disabilities and get disability payments. So this is not a handout. It's the first step to be able to do whatever other work you need to do to get your life on better footing.
Jay, thanks for sharing your thoughts and your experience. We've got Chris with us now calling from Eau Claire. Chris, hi.
Hi. So I worry that using this term homelessness is a bit pejorative. It comes with this imagery in the mind of what homelessness is. And there's many different kind of interpretations of what homelessness is. There's many people that are perhaps poor or have bad credit scores that have put them in a position where it's difficult to get homeless, to get housing. So there's many different kind of variances of this question. And then second of all, legislating, when you say creating a place that is police patrolled places for these people to have somewhere to stay, well, that certainly sounds like a jail to me. And I don't know if that's the right interpolation, but legislating homelessness seems like a way to try and legislate morality here, something I don't want to see, so legislate it out of what I'm looking at.
Chris, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Your thoughts on Chris's thoughts, Maria?
Yes. Thank you, Chris. I think that's a really important point. There is a lot of stigma attached to homelessness and to people who are experiencing it. And there's a perception that people are dangerous. And that raises a big concern about the police supervised shelters. And I thank you, Chris, for pointing that out. The people who are homeless are more often victimized by other people than are dangerous themselves. And I think that's really a result of that stigma that exists in people's in public perceptions. So it's important to recognize that people who become homeless are often people who are just down on their luck for whatever reason. They've lost a job, they've been evicted, they've had an unexpected health crisis. I mean, right now, 49% of all renters in this country are living on a kind of an edge. They're paying over 30% of their income for housing. And that means that any unexpected crisis can push them over that edge. So it's important for us to recognize that homelessness can happen to a large swath of people. So let's stop thinking of people who become homeless as somehow, you know, as people who are somehow at fault or people looking for handouts or people who are who we stigmatize. It could happen to many of us. So having some empathy, I think, would go a long way to figuring out solutions.
Thanks for that call. And Maria, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Maria Foscarinas is founder and former executive director of the National Homelessness Law Center and a lecturer at the Columbia Law School. She's with us today for a look at laws restricting homelessness and the U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to take up a case over laws on camping on public property.